But I'm really excited this morning for what God is doing. Wasn't just amazing to be in God's presence this morning? Hey? Yes, it was just so amazing. Just coming together as a family, corporately praising and worshiping our King and our Savior. And that's exactly what I want to touch on this morning, is being a people of praise. It's just something I remember, Greg, one of his first sermons this year, one of his points on 20 or 47 or 63 or 0.4, 0.3 of 7 of 8, he said that this year we need to be a people of praise. And I was encouraged by that, and I just thought, you know what, it's something that God is stirring in my heart, and something I'm thinking of and working through is being a person of praise. After all, it's an easy topic, hey? It's the three songs you sing before the sermon and Bob's your uncle. Or if you are really good at it, you come the evening and you got six songs covered. There you go. Worship done and dusted. My preach is finished. Thank you, guys. See you tomorrow. It's not that, hey? There is a place for corporate praise and worship. Make no mistake. The Ephesians 5:19 says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Now, I'm always standing in the front. Some of these guys don't do it in melody, but it's still their heart that comes through. I'm sure you've got like a partner that you think, Lord, keep them in the shower. It's fine there. Because like the water filtered the niceness to you. But if they do it in the car, he's like, no, thank you, please. Psalm 95 verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. Now that comes back to that. It's just a joyful noise. So it's fine. You can excuse them. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms. Friends, but for me, and that is what I just want to get, if we can take this one point home today, worship doesn't start and stop on a Sunday. It doesn't start and stop on the Wednesday at your growth groups. It doesn't start and stop on a Wednesday morning when the ladies meet you. It's not something that we do once off and it's finished. Look at these couple of verses in the Bible. Hebrews 13:15 says, through him let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. Continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. Continually doesn't mean a once-off thing. It always means for me every single day I need to offer up a sacrifice of praise. Continually. Psalm 35:28, then my tongue shall tell of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. Are you guys picking up the language here? It's not a once-off thing, friends. Psalm 40 verse 3, he puts a new song in my mouth. He puts a new song in my mouth. Friends, it's time that you and I start switching off that radio that's just giving you negative news anyway. Just telling you how bad everything is, how horrible everything is, how the country is in a mess. Friends, it's time that we look at the one that created us and say, Lord, put a new song in my heart. Start something fresh in my heart. I've had enough of this negative News 24 that's just coming in. Lord, I'm coming to you. I want a new song in my heart. It's time to say, Lord, I'm switching off listening to 947. I'm finishing with 5 FM. Maybe I just need to listen. I had an amazing experience to drive 10 kilometers to the city the other day. It took me 2 hours. That's amazing. Friends, 2 hours of your life that you can ask God for a new song. What are we doing with that time? What are we saying, Lord? I'm in this traffic. Trust me, if you were Jonathan, he'll probably roll the window down and 10 of them get saved anyway. But what are you doing in that? Friends, we always, the first thing we say, I don't have time. You know, I'm struggling with you have time. You've got it. It's what you and I do to make sure that we spend that the right way. Psalm 61 verse 8. So will I ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. Psalm 71, verse 8. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Friends, I had a look at the Psalms related to praise. I tell you what, we can speak about this for probably 6 months without being joking about it. Every Psalm, David comes, even in the bad, even in the good, even in the worst times, he always comes back to the point where he says, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And it's for me and you to learn this morning that we need to be a people of praise. And being a people of praise is not limited to a building or a day in the week. It's for us every single morning when we wake up. What does the word say? Put on the garment of praise. Friends, it's something you and I put on every single morning. The one thing that you won't walk out the house of is your pants. And if you do, come see my wife afterwards. She'll counsel you. Come see Charmaine. They'll help you guys. You saw, we need counsel. Okay. Friends, as you are getting dressed in that morning, as you're putting your shoes on, as you're putting your socks on, hopefully not in that sequence, as you're putting your clothes on, why don't we just put on the garment of praise? Why don't we make sure that we are make friends? I was so encouraged with Thursday's prayer meeting. And it's the one thing that Greg says that he felt, and we didn't want to shame anybody, but there's people that is so negative. And the only thing coming out of our mouths is negativity. Friends, if you put on the garment of praise, you can't be negative because you are clothed with that. Okay, that was for free. The Word of God calls us to live our lives entirely as an act of worship. Our whole life, our whole being, who we are, we must be an act of worship. Romans 12 verse 1 says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It's your spiritual worship. Present your bodies every single day to Him. Friends, our life needs to be a life of worship. Worship is not just a song or a musical progression. It's far more than that. The very heartbeat of worship is a natural overflow of our relationship with the Father. It is an expression of our adoration in response to His love. It's a discovery of Him as He reveals His wonder to us. Praise will always start and end with God. I'm going to say it probably 30 times this morning. Praise and worship has got nothing to do with you. It's out of that love relationship and with Him opening up our eyes to see more of Him that you and I start worshiping this amazing God. It's when you and I fall more in love with Him, that we see who He is, that we overflow with the worship that's inside of us. I want to give you a few Hebrew words for praise to help you understand and live out a life of worship. It will probably be something that you guys will have to take home and have a look at and see, God, how can I make this part of my life? I've said it now earlier, but praise and worshiping God is not limited or reserved to a Sunday or to this building. The first word, and I think it's behind me, is halah. The first word, halah, and here it is. To boast, to brag, or to rave about God. Who of you watched the rugby yesterday? Don't be ashamed, put your hand up. I see all the Shark supporters go, you bunch of heathens. Watching sport. Friends, where's the wives? Wives, put your hands up. Wives have got husbands that watch rugby. How do they watch rugby when they score a try? They go, that was well done. Good stuff. Not a chance. When that winger takes the ball and he runs down the line and he scores a try, your husband is on that try line before that guy. He's like shouting at the TV. He's hanging on that fan. He's like going ballistic. There's people that the next morning they wear the shirts of their team. They even got lucky underpants when the team is playing, man. Because they are just in it. They are going crazy. Friends, people get boastful and excited about a sport that the next morning did not affect their lives at all. It's gone, it's finished. They won. Great stuff. It didn't change my life for 1 second. When last did you and I boast about the maker of heaven and earth? When and last did you and I boast for the fact that you're not going to hell? Because he paid the ultimate price on that cross for me and for you. When last did you and I started getting a bit excited, jumping up and down? Where's the raving generation? Who's the guys that was the ravers? Okay, you don't have to put your hands up. I'm not going to name and shame you. Yes, like it. Do you remember those days with the funny pants and the, yes, like it. Do you know why I never raved? Because I couldn't fit in a vest. Huh? Imagine this body in a vest and a whistle going, brr, brr, build your house. And not a chance. That was not for me. Never, ever. Friends, but those people get into a point where they just losing themselves in that moment. They are just having fun. When last did you and I just have fun in God's presence? Or is it always a serious matter? Is it always like, oh, I'm carrying my cross. I have to. Friends, when last did you and I just break out in dancing and singing and praising Allah, our God? Raving, boasting about our Lord Jesus Christ. David, eh? Psalm 2 Samuel 6:14. David danced before the Lord with all his might. He danced before God with all his might. Friends, I think there needs to become a time in our family, a new day, where we start raving and boasting about this awesome God. We've had people going over to Europe, and John can help me out. Those guys got excited when 5 people get saved in a year. Am I right, Jono? Friends, we do that on a Sunday and we go, it's time to rave over the salvations that God is adding to this family. It's time to get excited when new people walk into our building and say, I want to be part of this amazing family. Friends, it's time to get excited when God does miracles between us. It's time to start raving when Jesus breaks through in marriages and restores relationships. It's time to start getting excited about a God that takes people that were almost dead and put them in a place where they are alive. We need to get excited, friends. We need to be a people of praise. We need to say, Lord, I'm putting on this garment. Today, I'm going to boast about you. When I walk in my workplace, I'm going to boast about you. I'm going to talk about you. I'm going to share about you because you've done it for me. A people of praise. Second one, yada. To worship with extended hands. Psalm 134 verse 2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Raising hands is one of the most explosive and meaningful expressions of praise. Raising hands is an international sign of surrender. Somebody points a gun at you, what do? Drop dead on the floor or what? You go, no, I surrender. Surrender. Friends, even this morning, when you get into that point and you realize, yes, I'm standing in the holies of holies, what do? And I'm not... Please, hear what I'm saying. Are we like standing here, going a chappy, going, this is a lekker place. Eh? Or do you take off your shoes and you realize I'm standing on holy ground and we start surrendering our lives and we're saying, Lord, here I am, arms wide open. Here I am. In that moment, I am surrendering to what you want to do in my life. Come and do that. Yada. I surrender to you. The third one, Barak. To bless, to kneel as an act of adoration. Psalm 103 verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Psalm 104 verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you're very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. Friends, what did Nick tell us to do here, right now, before we started? Me and him are not talking about what I'm going to preach. He says, friends, I just think we need to say God thanks for the things he's doing. It's exactly this, Barak, where we come and we just bless him. Friends, many times we look at it and we think, yes, like it. I'm going through all this. And friends, the reality is we're all going through life. Hey, we all have our struggles. But can I tell you one thing? We have got one thing that you and I can brag, boast, and be blessed about. Is that Jesus died on that cross and he's living inside of us. You and I have life in the fullest and we will be in eternity with Jesus Christ. That, for me, is something to be blessed about. And I almost sometimes read how David, even in circumstances, being down, being sad, had to just shake himself up. And he says, bless the Lord, oh my soul. It's like, come on, man, get yourself together. You know? Don't be like those wrestlers and slap yourself and do weird things. It's like you pick himself up and say, come on, bless the Lord. Friends, sometimes we need to take ourselves by the collar and say, come on. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 5:7, but I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple. When last did you go down on your knees and just put your face down? Say, Lord, I come and I humble myself before you. Or is that a bit too much to ask? When last did you and I go on our knees, bow down before him as our king? We've all seen those movies, hey? When you walk into a place and there's a certain king, what do? They bow down. Friends, we walk easily into God's presence and stand there as if we are the people. Ons is die manne. It's time that you and I bow down before this king. It's time that you and I take our hearts and we say, Lord, I bow down before you and acknowledge you as my king. I acknowledge you as my savior. I acknowledge you as the one who is and was and is to come. We need to do that again. Number 4, Tehillah, to sing, or to Lord, to sing. Exodus 15:2, the Lord is my strength and my song. Tehillah involves music and singing, especially singing. Singing is vital to worship of God. There are over 300 Bible mandates to sing. This word almost suggests that God himself is a song of praise. We might say it like this, God is our song. God is our song. It's time that you and I start singing again. And I was joking, but those guys that were in the shower, you can come out the shower now. Friends, it's time that we just start singing. And like David says in the Psalms, Lord, give me a new song. Give me a new song. Friends, just start singing and just start worshiping God from what's in here and what he's doing for you. I tell you now, if you take a moment and you pause, you will see what God is doing in and through your lives. Why don't we start singing about that? Why don't we start worshiping this amazing God for who and what he is? Number 5, Zamar. Worship on an instrument. Now, this is not for everybody, okay? Don't come afterwards and slam the drums. Shannon's going to clap you. Or grab Tian's guitar and say, yes, I think I've got a song here. That's not what I'm saying now. Psalm 18, verse 1 to 3. For the director of music of David, the servant of the Lord, he sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all the enemies and from the hand of Saul. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. I called the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. Zamar speaks of rejoicing. It is involved with the joyful expression of music. Zamar means to sing praises or to touch the strings. It speaks of involving every available instrument to make music and harmony before the Lord. It's God's will that we be joyful. Use Zamar when you are rejoicing after God has done something great for you. That's what David did. When God came through for him, he started Zamar. Friends, when you and I have breakthroughs in our lives, it's time to start rejoicing again. It's time to start, you know what, even clapping your hands can be a music instrument. Even if it's out of beat. Hey, Nick. We can do that. And that's why sometimes I think there's a mentality that worship is when the music starts playing, then only can I start worshiping. Friends, it's out of what God is doing here and the gratefulness and the thankfulness and seeing around us what God is doing, that we start rejoicing and we start worshiping who He is. Number six, Todah. Weird words, I know. This sounds like some mushroom. To give a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving with extended hands. Psalm 50 verse 23. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To me who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. And number seven, the last one, Shabbat, is to praise in a loud tone. To praise in a loud tone. Psalm 63 verse 3, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. Yes, friends, it's time to start shouting again a bit. And you know what's the one thing that stops us from being people of praise? Is our pride. Because if I start shouting, what's the guy next to me going to think? Fruitcake. Isn't it exactly that? That person that can jump and joy for his sport is called a fan. But you and I do it in church. We're called fanatics. No. I'm a fan of Jesus Christ. I'm a son of the Most High. That's why I can jump and dance and sing. I've seen people get very offended when people stage dive off here. It's time that we start doing that again. Not saying no. Wait, don't. But there's some people like, you can't do that. No, yes, you can. We're rejoicing. We're lifting up. We're praising the Most High. Friends, when last did you and I boast or brag or rave about God? When last did you bless or kneel before the great King? When last did you sing out loud? When last did you worship with an instrument? When last did you give a sacrifice of praise? When last did you sing out loud? Is He still the lover of your soul? Does Jesus still take your breath away? Is He still the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright morning star, the lion of Judah? Is He still that for you? Does Jesus still take your breath away? Out of that, worship will flow through your life and praise will flow through your life because of the relationship and the intimacy that you have with Him. If you look at the Old Testament, these oaks were party animals. Really, they were party animals. The Israelites had dancing and extravagant outward expressions. This was very much part of their culture. The expressions were associated with their social events, victories and defeats, prophetic activity, coming in and going out. They were always, go look at it. These guys were just singing, dancing, jumping up and down and going crazy. Have you guys ever been at a Jewish wedding or a Jewish bar mitzvah? It's not a sad occasion. These oaks are having food for millions. They are rejoicing. It's a feast. But when you and I come into the presence of God and we start walking into the Holy of Holies, we like become very subdued. Friends, it's time that we start celebrating and start worshiping when we have victories, when we have defeats, when we walk into things that we're not sure about. It's time to start praising our God. Jesus did not come to do away with His expressions of worship, but rather He came to build on. And I want to finish almost off with John 4 verse 23. You know when a guy says he's finishing, it's still more 10 minutes, hey? Just checking. John 4, 23, very, very, very familiar piece. We all know that. But the hour is coming and is now that when true worship will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. The Greek word here translated for worship is the Greek word proskuneo. That is with the coming forward with the intention to kiss. Now for those romantics, that's very nice. For the non-romantics, you go, yeah, that's not like that. Friends, for a man, looking at this, it's sometimes being a bit uncomfortable because it's like you're in my space. Jesus came and He taught us that He wants to help us and show us that we must come to the point where our worship needs to be intimate with Jesus Christ. It needs to be intimate with our Father. It's the point where He comes closer with the intention to kiss. Friend, the question for me and you is, what is our reaction towards that? Are we shying away? Are we like, this is a bit uncomfortable for me? Or are we saying, Lord, I'm going to worship you back in spirit and in truth? It's not what my flesh wants at that moment. It's not how I feel about that. It's not, oh, that song's just not really my type of song. It's, I'm coming here and my spirit is starting worshiping and engaging with God. And we come with a truthful heart, sincere and open heart. Friends, can I be honest with you? Sometimes when someone walks in here and they can stand before God in the right place and they can tell God, Lord, I'm fighting this battle. Today I am really not list to stick my hand up. I am not in the mood to feel that I must clap hands, but I'm still going to do it. That is what God says I'm looking after. Because that's a person that says, this is truthful. This is how I'm feeling. This is what I'm going through. But I'm still going to worship you. Still going to praise you. Friends, it's the opposite. When we come and we pretend that nothing is wrong, everything is okay, that you and I have to say, as am I truthful towards God right now? He wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. I love what it ends with. He says, because such the Father is seeking. Listen carefully. This is my translation. Don't throw shoes at me. Why does he say he's looking for that? If everybody is doing, surely he wasn't going to look for it. I almost get the impression that not a lot of people is worshiping in spirit and in truth. Why is he saying, I need to look for that? I need to go out and find that. I almost get the impression of a broken heart saying, because my people are not doing it. They are coming with pretenses. They're coming with their plans and their ideas and to come and worship me. God says, if you come and worship me in spirit and in truth, friends, it's almost like you're putting your hand up and saying, here I am. And God says, I see you. I'll come to you. I don't know about you, but I would love to get his attention. I would love to say, Lord, here I am. I'm here. Pick me. Pick me. Here I am, Lord. We need to get into that spot. Let it be our lifestyle, friends. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through him, then let us continue offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Continue offer up a sacrifice of praise. Do not neglect the good and share what you have, for such a sacrifice are pleasing to the God. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything be prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be known the God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Rejoice always, praise without ceasing. Rejoice always. I love that. Rejoice always. I want to throw one last thing in here quickly. One in Acts 16:25. It says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to him. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisoners was shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened, and everything and everyone's bonds were unshaken. Before that, Paul and Silas are on their way to their place of worship. That's what it says. They were on their way to their place of worship. And there was a possessed girl following them, shouting out chants the whole time. And the Bible says, after days, Paul turned around, fed up, tired. He just says, in Jesus' name, come out. And he sets this girl free. The owner of this girl wasn't very happy because he used her to do fortune telling. So there goes his cash. So he takes them to the magistrate, and the magistrate says, okay, fine. We don't like what is happening here. Throw them in jail. The Bible says that their clothes, their robes were stripped off, and they got beaten. Now, it's not the Paxlam at the belt that we're thinking of, hey. Their backs were like whipped open, and they were chucked in jail. That night, what does Paul and Silas start doing? They start worshiping and praising God. You and I drive here in our cars. Listen to me. We drive here in our cars. We got clothes. We even have nice and coffee and tea as we walk in here. We sit on nice comfy chairs. We are comfortable. But as soon as the music starts playing, we go, nah, I don't like that song. After 10 minutes, we worship like this, you know, you go, yes, when is this guy going to land this thing? You know, I just want to. These oaks were in a very bad situation, in a very bad spot in their lives. What did they choose to do? They chose to praise and worship God. Friends, when you and I look at our circumstances, I tell you what, we've got it very easy. But still, we want to come on our terms and our conditions and say, Lord, I'm going to praise you with the three songs. I'm going to give my best here. It's not how it works. It's not what it is. Worship starts and ends with God. A.W. Tozer says, we are created to worship our Father, a relationship of intimate and ardent adoration. We should worship Him on His terms and in a manner worthy of His name. Let us not be found offering God second best in this area. Listen to me quickly. There will be no preaching, teaching, evangelism, church planting in heaven. There will be no need for it. Only one thing that will remain is that we gaze upon the beauty of His splendor and the wonders of His mighty hand. Passionate praise will pour from our lips, worshiping our great King. Live a lifestyle for worship. It is our eternal ministry. I've asked Tian that we sing one more song. In the middle of my sermon, I asked, when last did you maybe put your hands up? When last did you surrender? When last did you go on your knees? When last did you sing out loud? When last did you say, Lord, I'm just going to jump up and down a little bit. Don't jump off there. No safety hazards. When last did you and I say, Lord, I just want to put away my thoughts and what I think it's all about. In truth and in spirit. I want to worship you this morning.